Grant me the grace for every task until thy face I see. That's a pretty good introduction to the subject tonight, isn't it? Thank you, Brother Virtual, for those songs. I enjoy when we sing by memory. There's something about that. We know the songs. Especially that refrain that just goes on and on. There's something about that thrills my soul. And I think it's because the focus is on God and on Jesus and what he's done for us. Thank you, Brother Arlen, for the devotions as well. My heart was inspired. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when we can't work anymore, when the opportunities are over. I thought about how that relates to the subject tonight. God gives us families. God gives us children. We have this moment, this time, this slot where we can teach, mold, make an influence into their hearts and into their lives, and the opportunity flees so fast. Some of you young families probably don't believe that right now where you're at. You're just starting to get into this, or maybe you're in the heat of it sometimes, into it, and you think, oh, yeah, it's a work, it's a task. There's challenges there, like our subject alludes tonight. And there are. I'm not going to minimize that. But you know what? That time moves on so fast. This morning in our congregation at home, there was quite a bit of noise in the back of the church from one of those small ones that are growing up and getting to that age where they can make their will known and need to be helped, need to be taught. And there was a few comments made around the dinner table at home, and my oldest son was there. After a while, he just looked at me. I made a comment about it. He looked at me. He said, you forget what it was like 20 years ago. So I don't know if I even qualify to share this message tonight. I thought about that. Maybe I do forget some things and how it was. Well, greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you in this topic tonight, embracing the challenge of parenting. I guess it could be challenges, because I believe there's more than one challenge, but tonight we want to consider this subject. Brother Weaver, I forget his name already. He told me earlier tonight, and that's he mentioned that it's something that we enjoy do when we embrace. Embracing has the idea that we take up the work readily, gladly. In fact, it has the idea that we cherish the work, that we love it, that we want to do it. And I know tonight when you're doing it, when you're in the middle of parenting, sometimes the challenges make you weary. And you say, yes, I know I'm supposed to love this, I'm supposed to embrace it, I'm supposed to take it up, and yet you hardly feel like you have the strength and the energy to go on and do it. And I suppose that's why this topic was assigned tonight, to try to help to encourage us in this. And that's the goal that I have this evening, to do that. You see, there is a cause, like our brother mentioned. There is a reason why we want to do this. And this is because tonight our children are different than anything else we relate to in the fact that they have an eternal soul that is going to live eternally. And we are responsible to make a difference, to help them make the difference or make choices in their life Bring them to the place where they can consider in their own hearts and their own lives the values of their soul and realize that. The word challenge is often, I think our brother said, it's something that we look at, it threatens us. And I think that's correct. We might say that it's actually a summons. It's something that we know we're supposed to do. And it is often somewhat intimidating or threatening. Provocative. It kind of provokes us, and that word also has the idea when, you know, when we get provoked, we have a stimulating effect that goes on in us, I guess I'll say. And it moves us into action. And that's what these challenges do. When they come our way and we realize the value of the product that we're dealing with, this eternal soul, and we love our children and we want the best for them, it moves us to action. And many times I believe that when we get weary and we start feeling like we're fainting in this, it's that idea again that comes forth that stimulates us again, gives us another boost, as it were, to go on and say, you know, there's a reason, there's a cost. And so tonight, those are some introductory thoughts. I would actually like to think and start this message on thinking of the thought of parenting. Now, parenting is a word. You don't find the word parenting in the Bible. You find verses in the Bible that talks about parents, parents' responsibilities to their children, children's responsibility to their parents. But parenting is not a word you will find in the Bible. And I'd like to just think about this thought of parenting. Because I believe that the foundation of marriage is so very important to consider when we think about parenting and we think about parents. Who did God give the responsibility to have children and have family? To parents, to a man and a woman. In Genesis, God set the foundation for this when he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That was putting in place the family unit. That was putting in place the thought of parents. In fact, I think we could paraphrase that verse and simply say this: for this reason, parenting, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh in parenting. You see, in Genesis here, this is the moment, this is the record of the moment, I'll say, when God, after he had created a man and a woman, established marriage as the foundation of the family, or child rearing, as it were. It's the first family principle we find in the Bible. And it's very important that we get this tonight. We live in a society and in a world that is bringing children into the world outside of a proper family unit so many times, so often, too often. And we wonder why children are the way they are. When you end up in the grocery store and you see those children who were not brought up and are acting the way they are, oftentimes they're children with maybe one parent that's in their lives that's making a difference. So I think this is a very important foundation that we need to bring into focus as we think about parenting. Before a married couple begins having children, for them to be one flesh means that they are together, they are one flesh, they are devoted to each other, they are faithful to each other, they have the same value system, they have probably talked about this and laid the foundation for their home and have said, you know, this is God's plan, and when we have children, this is where we want to go, this is what we want to do, this is, and we're together in this. And that lays such a beautiful foundation. It's God's plan. That's why it's so beautiful. It's what God wants. Child training grows out of the context of the home atmosphere. I believe that. The way the home atmosphere is, and that's why this foundation is so important. It's so important that the man and the wife have communicated and talked about this and have decided on values and put some things in place. Because that home atmosphere develops out of married life, is what it does. You see how it builds? It develops out of married life, and that atmosphere affects the child, the children, the unit, the home unit. Because married life grows out of personal character and integrity. It's just all linked together. In fact, it all goes back to our personal walk with God. The foundation goes back to how you and I are connected to God and what that has done in our hearts and is doing in our hearts and will be doing in our homes. Having said that, I want you to open your Bibles. There's a story that I love so well, and it brings some of this out. I pondered this as I wondered. You may open your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, an Old Testament story that we have here, but I love it so much because I believe that it brings out so many principles of this idea of what God is expecting for us and where our focus should be with this idea of parenting. Judges 13, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 2 and read through verse 18. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no more wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come unto us and teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She shall not eat of anything that cometh of wine, neither let her drink wine of the vine, and neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy saying come to pass, we shall do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? We'll break off reading there. There's a few things that I want to, a few principles that I just want to bring to focus about this story that challenges me, and I believe they're foundational principles. But the first one is the thought that the angel told her in verse 5 that she shall bear a son, and she told him that he's going to be a Nazarite from his womb, and that gave him instructions not to drink strong drink or no razor on his head. We know the criteria for Nazarites. But my point is this: God has a plan for every child. Every child that enters into your home, dear ones, God has a plan for. God has a purpose for giving that child to you. Children are different one from another, and God has different plans for different children. But God gives all these children that he has plans for, and that he has a future for, and that he has a work for, and that he has an interest in, that he created and that he put here, and he gave them to parents and gives the responsibility along to train and teach and promote that child towards the purpose that he has for, so that he can use the child. You see, it's not about us. It's about the child, and it's about God and his plan and his purpose. The second thing that is very important and that impresses me from this story is in verse 8, where Manoah's wife came to Manoah, and she had told Manoah that the angel was there, and then the angel... This was Manoah's response in verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. We have a father's heart here who realized that there was going to be, may I say tonight, challenges that are going to come along. There's going to be a work that is going to go with this. And I imagine this was probably maybe an older father and an older mother at this point, because they had spent some time already not having children. It doesn't tell us how long they were, but there was some maturity that went along with this couple already. And there was probably that thought of, I wish we could have a child. They longed for that, and it hadn't happened, and here it was happening. And all of a sudden, that, as it was happening, this older man, I'm going to say, I don't know how old he was, but he realized that this was something that I can't do myself. God, show us how to do it. Come back, tell us how to order the child. This is a principle tonight, dear friends, that needs to go with the challenges of parenting children. We cannot do it on our own strength. We don't have the wisdom to do it. We don't understand how to do it. We don't fully understand God's plan for each child. And so we need to do like Manoah did and say, God, give us the wisdom, give us the strength, give us the understanding, give us what we need. In verse 12, he asks the question again. Now let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? I just see the father's heart come forth. God, I need help in this. And so my point is tonight, dear friends, as we embrace, we realize the responsibility, and as we go into the work and the challenges come, take God with you in the journey. God does have answers for us. God will make known. God does impart wisdom. The God that has created us, the God has created these children, and the God that has the plan for the future will not let us sit without giving us what we need. The resources are here. And I'm so thankful tonight that those resources include the church family. Do we realize what a blessing we have when we think about our communities and the people that are around us and the lives that they're living in, and the blessing that it is for us to have each other and the Word of God and the teaching and encouraging that we do, just like we're doing tonight. It is a real blessing. And so we must have that father's heart. Another thing I'd like to say about this story is if we go over to the next chapter, we know the story, but in the next chapter it tells us, and Samson, which was the son, went down to Timnath and saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and he told his father and his mother, and I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto them, is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, nor among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. Notice verse 4. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Here's coming back to my first point. God has a plan. And you and I sometimes think we know what God's plan is. Yes, it is right for us to want the best and the good. And that's what this father and mother wanted. They wanted the best. They were kind of taken back with this son's request. It almost seems like Samson was, well, I guess he was. He was rebellious. And he was making a request that was against his father and his mother. And it was right for his father and his mother to question that. But the point I want to make in this, they didn't keep on, we don't read in this account or in this story that they kept on pushing this point. They made their point and said, well, isn't there a daughter, isn't there a woman back here among our own people? They left him know that it wasn't their wish. But they didn't keep on harping. And tonight, the point I want to make from that is peace lieth in acceptance. When we think about the challenges of parenting, sometimes I believe we bring some challenges our way by not accepting. Maybe we have a higher goal. We have a different goal. We have something else, that another agenda for our children. We need to be careful with the agendas that we have for our children. Right agendas are okay. Wrong agendas are never okay. But we can get all in a tizzy about things when it seems like it's out of control. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. It says here, but his parents didn't know God's plan. God had another plan. Fourthly, our goal must be to honor God with our families. That was Manoah's plan. His plan was to honor God. And so as I think about what Manoah did, I put that all under this category of embracing. Manoah was embracing what God wanted him to embrace. He was embracing the desire to do the best he could. He wanted God's help. He wanted God's will. That was what he was embracing. He was moving ahead on that platform. And I think tonight we do well to notice that take that platform as well. The second or the third thing, so we talked about parenting, we talked about the embracing of it now. The third thing I'd like to talk about is this idea of challenge yet. So we say that there's challenges that come along with that. And I believe that's right. I'm not going to dispute tonight that parenting brings its challenges along. But as I thought about that, I thought about the verses in James. Turn back to James chapter 1 with me. So challenges bring fears into our hearts. They move us to action when we... A challenge is something that stands out before us, and it motivates us to do something about it. We know that it's there, and it has to be met. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, James says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so when I think of challenges, I thought of this verse. Isn't a challenge to us the trying of our faith many times? The trying of ourselves. And James says that knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he goes on to say this, but let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And he goes on to say that if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God's going to give us all the wisdom that we need. We don't have to ask for, let's ask in faith, not wavering. And he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 2, I believe we could paraphrase like this. Count it all joy when my patience is tried in raising my children. Because it's going to be tried. That's what these challenges are about. Because why? Why should we count this joy? In other words, this goes back to this thought of embracing it, of loving it, of actually desiring to have it. Why would we make that application to this? Well, you see, when my children try out my patience, then I start to feel like something is out of control, right? We start feeling threatened then. We start feeling like it's just not going the way I was planning for this to go. We're not seeing the results, which makes me uncomfortable and causes anxiety on my part, which in turn is the trying of my faith, I believe, is what it is. Verse 4 says that it's for our benefit. Now, you're going to be surprised that I say this. You thought that I'm going to put the focus on the children. But sometimes you see the focus needs to be on us. God says that it's for our benefit. I believe God uses the trying of our patience at many times to help us grow and help us find our way, to make us depend on Him like Manoah did. Turn our thoughts to God, because if this wouldn't happen in this process of raising children and raising families, we would soon get the idea we know how to do this and we had the answers, right? God wants us to focus on Him. God wants us to turn to Him for our guidance. He wants us He knows. He already knows what we need to raise children. He already knows what we need to raise families. But God wants us to realize ourselves, our dependency on Him. God says, look to me. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you what you need. That's why Psalm 127 says, except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. I believe that's so true. See, patience is a virtue that needs to be cultivated. At least it does in my life. I believe it does in all our lives. It's something that we must learn. We must grow in. And I believe God uses the challenges of raising families to do that. And it's good for us, is the point I want to make, when we see it in that way. You see, there is no one formula that fits all children. I don't know what you were expecting tonight. If you were expecting me to come here and give you a formula, it's going to be the perfect formula to raise your children. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm going to do tonight. Because there is no one perfect formula that fits children. Children come to us in just like they come to us with their own looks and their own ways. They come to us with different abilities. As they grow, some mature faster than others, some catch on faster, some learn faster, some need very little discipline and very little training, it seems like, and they just kind of learn on their own what dad and mom want, and the next child just, it seems like it takes so much training, it takes so much discipline. We're going to get into some of that later. (Clears throat) That raises another question in my mind tonight, and that question is, so what is patience? We're talking about patience. What is patience? I read this on a church sign. I think it was, I don't know, last winter sometime in our community, and I loved it so well I wrote it down and I thought about this again. Patience is the ability to wait on God's timing. And I love that definition of patience. And I think it really fits into this thought of training children and relating to our family. Does this thought maybe expose another one of our problems sometimes? It does mine. Because you see, I like results. I like to explain things to my children, and when I explain it one time, I have this nature within me that thinks, well, now, did you hear and understand? And I expect performance. It doesn't quite work that way, does it? The Bible even says that we need to do it line upon line, precept upon precept. You do it again, you say it again, you teach it again, you do it all over, and you keep trying to sing it home, and we get impatient in that. At least I do. And some children, I guess what happens in our families, I said no one formula fits all, but sometimes you have children that you can tell once or twice and it's sunk home and they perform on it. And the next child, it seems like it just doesn't sink in and you get weary of repeating it. And it tries our patience. So that's patience. It doesn't work that way. And so those become challenges to us. They're challenges that we're supposed to embrace, right? We're supposed to like them. We're supposed to love them. Why? Because there's a soul at stake. We need to teach. Well, I have a few very practical things that I'd like to focus on tonight. As I thought about this, and I wondered what are some of the important ingredients in embracing the challenges and when in our parenting techniques, what is important? And one of the first things I thought about is this idea of love. This is an ingredient that is so important. I thought about this as I thought about patience. My mind went to the songwriter where he says, love is patient, it's kind. It's slow to anger, it delights in truth. There is nothing that love cannot face and that love cannot endure. And so as I pondered that and I thought about that and I thought about these precious little children that God gives to us and the importance of love. I believe tonight, dear parents, that the greatest gift that parents can give to their children is to truly love each one of them. In fact, it's so important. First of all, and that we know that love issues from God. Love comes from God. So it goes back to my thought on the marriage, the foundation of marriage, our relationship with God. We need to, first of all, have a right connection and relationship with God ourselves and have God's love in our heart before we can give that to our children effectively. Someone said, and I love this, home relationships should be handled with gospel tenderness. I love that so much. Our home relationship. So what is gospel tenderness? Well, what was Jesus teaching us in Matthew chapter 19? Just turn back to Matthew 19. A few familiar verses there in Matthew 19, verse 13. There were little children that came into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus said this. He said, then were there brought unto him, in verse 13, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked these people that were doing it. The disciples were saying, look, Jesus has more important things to do than this. These children are not the important things. Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, bring them here, suffer them to come unto me, and forbid them not. Why? Because this is what the kingdom of heaven is made up of. Jesus tells us that every one of us must become like the little children. In other words, we must become teachable. We must become humble beings like our children are many times when they're small, innocent little children I'm talking about. Jesus' tenderness and acceptance of children is what Jesus wants us to do in our family lives. Handle our children with gospel tenderness. Two things about love. We could say a lot about love tonight. There's two things that I think are very, very important. We must recognize that our children have feelings. I think sometimes we forget that our children have feelings. God created all children, I believe, with the sense, I'm going to say, or with the ability to sense. When they are loved, and when their love is received into our lives and valued. You get that? It's a two-way street. When our children sense that we as parents love them, and when we also acknowledge that we care about their love and what they're sending our way, because that is a relationship. That builds relationships. And that is so important when we face the challenges of parenting. When we get to those times when Samson says, "This is what I want. Get it for me." And dad and mom say, "Well, now wait a minute here. That's not what we want." If we don't have this foundation of relationship, this foundation of love in place, we're probably not going to be able to tell Samson our idea and what we'd like. Why don't you get one of the women from us here, you know? Get the point? I believe that's true, very valuable. Feeling love gives children a sense of security and a sense of self-worth. As children come to us and they begin connecting with life and the realities of life, and they start growing up and they lose their innocency, and they start growing up. Our children need to realize that they need that there's a need for a sense of security and a sense of self-worth. And when we love them and that relationship is there, we have that connection, and they will. That is why sometimes when you see older children who it seems like they're craving for attention, they just do obnoxious things, I'll say sometimes, and you wonder, why do they act the way they do? Why do they perform the way they do? Why are they doing that? Many times it's because of this very thing. The connection's not what it should be at home, and they lack the security and they lack the self-worth, and they're craving for attention. And it's their way of reaching out for that. In fact, it's what makes adults do the things they do sometimes if they haven't learned it prior to adulthood. And they come into life and they make choices like they do, and we say, "Well, what's the matter? Why do they choose?" Many times it stems back to this very, very thing here, I believe. You see, this is only proper. The second thing I want to say about this is only possible when parents have the emotional anger themselves, when they are rooted in the love of God. Ephesians talks about that. He says, being rooted and grounded in the love of God. We need to have that anger ourselves as parents so that we have the stability to train, bring about, face the challenges, and embrace our responsibility as parents. It's connected. Children are born with a fallen nature. We know that. This deprived human nature makes problems. This deprived human nature is bent on the Samson road to do the things that aren't what we should do. This inclination to go astray is a natural thing of the old nature that we have. But you know what? Children are also created in the image of God. I want to tell you that tonight. With the ability to develop an imminent spiritual relationship with God, and that needs to be our goal, and we can't lose sight of that. We have our responsibility to bring them to that place where they finally choose that. You see, that's another reason God gives children to parents, because he wants somebody to nurture and admonish and bring them up. It takes time and it takes patience. I'd like to say something to the families tonight, young families who are in the middle of child rearing. We go through different stages. We go through different stages as parents. When we have our first children, you're young parents, you're, may I say, somewhat inexperienced, you are inexperienced. And one of the things that I notice, and it's a natural thing because we want our children to turn out right. But I see young families sometimes just getting pretty aggressive in training children. Because they want to make sure, and I believe that it is important. I believe that when you get your older children steered in the right direction, there is something about them setting the pace, the platform, for the rest of the family, as it were. And I believe that's why we get like that. But I also see older parents sometimes getting lax. I've been there. I'm an older parent here tonight, and I've even had my older children tell me already, well, the younger children are getting away with things we didn't get away with. I mean, you wouldn't have left us do that, and here you are letting little sister get away with it. Yeah, that's right. I've probably been guilty of that. I can't deny that. It tends to be the tendency of parents. The point I want to make is I want to connect this idea with this thought of patience. We need to be patient. We need to take time. We need to give God the time to work. You see, our responsibility with these children is to bring them to this age of maturity, this age of accountability, to give direction there. But they come to that point where God is finally the one that's going to have to finish what happens with their lives, if I may say it that way. God has promised that he will call. Some he calls younger. Some recognize the call at a young age. Some are older, and parents can get... I had some children that were a little older until they accepted the Lord, and I know what it's like to start getting anxious about that and saying, well, what am I doing wrong? And we'll talk about a little bit more of that later. But my point is, give God time to work. God works in these hearts and in these lives. And maybe I'll say it right now, lest I forget it. There comes that time when we turn it over to God and we say, God, you need to step in here. And we simply get on our knees and pray. And I want to encourage that very, very strongly tonight, because God can do a work that you and I can't do as parents. God wants to work, but God wants to hear that from us. Don't give up praying for your children. I'll confess tonight that I had some children that I prayed a lot more for than I did for others, simply because I saw the stubbornness of hearts in them that I didn't recognize and see in others and wasn't there. And God is faithful. I'll tell you that tonight. God is faithful. And so don't give up praying. When it seems like you're facing the challenge and you're at the end of the road, pray about it. Maybe I'll just say a little bit something. So we live life, and life is busy, and we all have things to do. But mothers tonight, I'd like to give you a little encouragement. I said we go through different stages. Our children go through different stages. So children come as toddlers, and then you have your preschoolers, and then you have older school children, and you have teenagers in your home. You have, when you're in the heart of all this, take the time to do the important things and let the rest go by. You can make a lot of challenges for yourself when you think that you need to run your household and do everything the way everybody else does it that maybe doesn't have the responsibility with children you do. And just to be practical, there's a time in life when maybe the flower beds just need to be left go, and you don't worry about the flower beds out there. You pull the weeds so they don't take over, but there's more important things to do. There's children to take care of. There's other things. We live in a world today where I watch young people, and it seems to me like there's maybe a lot of getting together and running around at times and having parties and doing other things. And I'm not saying all that is wrong. That's not what you heard me say tonight. But maybe you don't have time to be at all those gatherings and all those parties and all those things because you have children to take. You see, mothers, your responsibility, the Bible says, is to be a keeper at home. Dads, you're to provide for your families, and you're supposed to provide in a way that your mother, that your wife and the mother of your children is satisfied to be the keeper at home and finds fulfillment in that. And there's a lot that could be said about that, but I just want to bring that into our attention tonight. The goal in training our children is to bring them to the place where they listen and gain control over their moods and over their attitudes. And this is so important that we do that. If this is not done, there will never be enough of patience in us as parents to deal with all the frustrations that comes as a result of it, or all the challenges that comes as a result of it. In other words, the time to break the will, I believe, is when they are young and small and in the preschool stage and at home, in your homes, on your laps. It becomes evident in our social circles when that is not done at home, and it starts happening in social circles. And you say, well, what is wrong? It's maybe there's a training that's missing at home. I believe it should happen at home. It's the point I want to make. And I'm very thankful tonight that largely in our circles, in our churches, that is happening. God bless you for that. I think it is happening. Teach your children to take responsibility for themselves, for their actions. This is going to take care of a lot of challenges and a lot of things that want to frustrate us and become challenges to it. Just teach your children to clean up after themselves, to help do the chores around the house. When they come home from school, make those children take the responsibility of maybe cleaning their lunch buckets out, putting the containers on the sink to wash, get rid of the trash, put it in the trash can, even wipe the lunchbox out. Go change your clothes and get into your everyday clothes that you're supposed to use to do chores or go out and play or whatever. Hang your sweater in the closet where it belongs, your coat in the closet. Instead of coming in the door and just throwing everything every which way and, Mom, there it is, it's your responsibility and we're merrily on our way. I see some of you smiling, and I believe that some of you you say, well, that doesn't happen. We've been taught that. I hope so. Because in the home where that does not happen, there is going to be extra challenges and extra frustrations, and patience is going to run dry. My point is, you can help yourself in so many of these things. It's just some practical things that need to be put in place. Well, I must move on there. Some more things I want to tell you tonight. The second thing I want to talk about, so we talk about love and we talk about some of these practical things. The second thing tonight is the idea of discipline. I want to talk a little bit more about discipline because I believe that discipline is very important as we face and we embrace the challenges. It's a tool that God has given us and He wants us to use. The Bible teaches us time and time again that we are not to spare the rod. And there's just a host of verses. You know them. I'm not going to take time to turn to them. What I want to say tonight on this subject of discipline, this discipline is a process whereby parents transform a willful child into a willing disciple. In other words, they have this nature, this will that I was talking about. In fact, it needs to be done in love, and it needs to be done in the right way. But discipline is important. I have a burden in my heart tonight. I believe that we maybe are losing out on some of this in some of our homes. And we think, you know, the world and society around us doesn't think it's the proper thing to do. You don't spank. You don't pick up the rod. No, the Bible says you do. And God's way still works. Yes, right here in this time, in this age. What we want to do is do it in a way that we have. And when you do this, when you discipline, make sure that your child understands why you're disciplining, what they've done wrong, what you expect from them. Make sure they understand what's happening. Because what we want is finally someone that will look up to us and will respect us for the teaching and the discipline that we bring into their lives, because they realize that we love them and that we care about them and that we have the best for their eternal soul and mind. And that takes a relationship. See, we want them to look up to us, maybe not look up as much as trust us. Our children will always struggle with this independent will and a rebellious nature. But consistent consequences will bring about a behavior change, winning their hearts and making them these willing disciples. And that's our goal. That's what we want. And so I want to encourage you. A part of this is to teach them to have self-control, the ability to control their feelings, the ability to discipline themselves, to take care of their lower nature, to bring them to the place where they understand this lower nature. Transparency and accountability, and I alluded to that. Keep an openness and a trust. We want our children to come to us when they struggle, when they have problems. You don't want your children to go seek help elsewhere. Our heart's desire is, and so we need to keep that open relationships. That takes me to the next point and some things I'd like to talk about. Signs that home life is working. What are some signs that home life is working? Well, communication is one of them. Communication should be spontaneous and easy between parents and family. And I'll be the first one to acknowledge that it should be, and we want that, but you know what, it doesn't always quite work that way. I've been there. I know how it can break down and the walls that can start coming up. Parents and children need to be able, each one of them, to share with each other what's on their minds. Parents, we need to teach our children that it's okay to come to us and share their struggles and their difficulties and the things that are big in their lives, even if they seem so small and so insignificant to us, and we think, well, you know, never let them think that you think that. They need to be able to come and share. Family members need to be able to express an interest in each other. It's a shame when parents put up a false front. When parents have struggles and problems and unresolved things in their own life, and they don't open up and take care of those things first of all themselves, children come to the point where they can finally see through that themselves. And dad and mom put up a front that says, I'm okay, we don't have a problem that now. Don't kid yourself. Children see through those things. They know better. Maybe they don't exactly know what the problem is, but they know there's a problem. Recently, I heard a young girl tell another young girl, my mom needs the Lord. My mom needs the Lord. What do you suppose is happening in a home like that? We can only let our minds wonder. Those things should not be. Mistakes are allowable. mistakes are allowable on our children's part. Our children must know that they can make mistakes and that it's okay. Yes, we correct the mistakes and we talk about them and we go on, but it's okay. Parents, we need to do that ourselves. It's okay for mom and dad to make mistakes. We will make mistakes. But the same humble spirit needs to be there that we say, I'm sorry, I failed. I didn't handle this situation in the best way I could have. I see that now. You know, those kind of things build respect, and it makes it that the challenges of parenting are so much easier. There's something that's somewhat in this relationship that just kind of melts away when those things can be in place in our homes. And it makes home life beautiful. There's way too many times we've all seen this. Those of us that are older have witnessed this. Way too many times when youth feel justified in rebelling against their parents, against the authorities in their life, against the church. Why? Because they grew up being angry with their parents. They saw the failures and they saw the fronts. And they feel okay to just keep on doing the same thing. And it makes home life miserable, and it ends up in the church, and it makes church life miserable. And so there's a few things that I'd like to say tonight that I think we need to be careful with. We're talking about discipline. Discipline done in anger or frustration is never a good thing to do. It should not be done. And a refusal to apologize for it makes it even worse. And so parents, be careful with that. Discipline cannot be done with our own emotions involved. In other words, we can be inconsistent, because when our own emotions get involved, our own emotions are on roller coasters. And so when we do it in that way, some days we will discipline for some things, and other days we'll let it go. And we sent the message to our children that today it was okay, but yesterday it wasn't, and tomorrow who knows which way dad's gonna or mom's gonna. And so we need to be consistent. Let's not let do it on our own emotions. I believe that we need to be careful. I'm not sure what to say about this, but another thing I thought about is sometimes we set some pretty high standards. And I think we should set high standards for our children. But I think we can set the standard too high and frustrate our children sometimes. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But I guess I see this happening in church life among us, where we are in church life together, and some families set the standard here and other families set it here, and then there's this family that sets it up here. And I think it's good. We need the influence to set higher standards. I'm not sure where the balance is, but you know, sometimes those families that set the standard up here and are trying to hold this standard in church life up here when everybody else is kind of down here, other people... Children like that sometimes get frustrated, and they say, that's dad and mom's idea. It's okay, because brother and sister over here, they're doing well with their family and they're doing okay. Just a precaution I'm going to throw in there. Think about that. I think it's good if we all strive for the higher standard. We can't keep going for the lower denominator all the time. That doesn't work. We know where that goes. But we need to somehow find our way together and find that balance. Children have needs, many of them. Ignoring children's needs for personal pursuits, and I touched on this a little bit, but I believe this is another area that is very, very important for us to keep in balance and in check. Don't ignore your children's needs for your own personal pursuits, because in return, what is going to happen, it's going to bring a whole other set of challenges that are going to be difficult to face. Maybe I should say one thing yet. I said earlier that children come to us in with different abilities, different ways. We know that those of us that had families and had children, we know that children are different. And sometimes parents can start holding one child above another. And I'd just like to caution us tonight that we don't do that. We know what happened between Joseph and his brothers when his father done that. And that can happen in our homes. Be very careful with that. That can bring about pressures and things into your home. Humiliating children in front of other children in the home, their peers in church life and so on, it's not a good thing to do either. It brings about an attitude of disrespect in them as well. And so be careful with that. Tonight in closing, I'd just like to say, keep on doing the good work you're doing. In fact, I'd like to just point you to this verse right behind me here. I sat here and I was pondering that verse in relation to this subject. I think I'm just going to close with that. In your challenges of parenthood, fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart. Put your heart at the right place. Have your heart at the right place. And consider the things that God is doing, the great things that God is doing. You're not in this journey alone tonight, dear parents. God is with you. He's very interested. And God is doing a lot of good things, a lot of great things. Yes, He wants you to do your part, but He's there. Consider the good things that He's doing in your family life, that He has done for you. Be thankful for it. You see, it's so easy for us to start focusing on our problems and on the negative and saying, well, life is... No, it's not all that way. There's a lot of good things happening. Get your focus off those negative things and focus on the good things and give God the glory. God will bless you for it. Thank you.